We love cake so much we decided to make it a full-time business. For me, Sammy.
And me, Bronya.
Join us on our journey of discovery as we meet fellow cake professionals, artisan cake makers and home bakers who will give tips and advice on the Business of Cake Making podcast, glitter included.
Follow us on Instagram and listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean or wherever you listen to your podcast. Sign up to our newsletter and visit the blog at daisycakecompany.co.uk.
Hello, Sammy.
Oh, look, I've just made myself bigger and I can see what of a mess I am.
You look gorgeous, darling.
I've been out I've been out in the weather today.
Well, it's raining with you, but it's not raining.
I mean, you're not far away from me.
No, it's a spit spot. Yeah. It's looking grey. It'll probably rain later. I saw a rainbow yesterday.
Oh, I like rainbows. Oh, that's a nice mug you've got there.
It is, isn't it? My sister gave it to me.
It's very nice. I've got my Carlo's Bakery mug with me today.
Of course.
Of course. Getting into it. Right, so how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Been very busy.
Yeah, did you have two wedding fairs last week?
Yeah, I had one the weekend before and two last weekend.
Are you all wedding fared out?
Oh my God, yes, I so am. I so am.
I'm done. I'm done with them.
I'm done.
Talking to the human race. Yeah.
Yeah. So one was rubbish, one was good. But we've got a question about wedding fairs in a minute.
So we shouldn't talk too much about it.
Yes,
we shouldn't talk too much about it.
So tell our listeners, what are we going to be talking about today?
Today we have got a Q&A. So I've put we've obviously been training it on the last couple of episodes, and we've had some emails in, and we've had I've put it up on our stories with a question box thingy. So we've got some questions.
I like it.
I don't know whether I can answer them all.
I don't know either.
We'll see. We'll get however far we get. So
there was one question. But let's get there.
Okay. Right. Okay. Shall we start?
Yes, please.
The first one was an email. Now, Joe in Bristol.
Love her.
I don't know whether it's a her.
I think it's a him, isn't it?
I think it is. And we're really sorry, Joe, but if you've told us your business name, I'm really sorry. I haven't remembered it. So I do apologise. Joe in Bristol. I think I know what your business is, but just let us know again so we can give you a shout out at some point. Right. Okay. So question from Joe in Bristol. Hi, Sammy and Bronya. I hope you're both doing fabulous. Fabulous, darling. Fabulous. What are you doing? Are you paying attention?
Yes, I was looking up Joe in Bristol because I know I follow them.
She's like, has she frozen? Has she just gone off on one? Is she watching YouTube? What's going on?
Yeah, darling.
I hope you're both doing fabulous. Firstly, thank you so much for reading out my email on the 100th episode. It absolutely made my day. I'm still loving the podcast and look forward to new episodes. So, as you both know, I've recently launched my vegan cake business in Bristol and everything is going great. I'm gaining traction on social media. I'm developing my own style. I've worked out my prices correctly, in brackets, correctly, and I've covered all the legal stuff too. I know these things take time, but I absolutely want to do this as a full-time job eventually. However, I don't quite have enough of a client base yet. My question for you both is, how and when did you move into doing cakes as a full-time business? Did you have a full-time job before making cakes and make the move gradually, e.g. reduce hours over time, or did you make the move when you were getting lots of bookings over a certain period? Or did you just risk it all and jump straight in? Any advice or insight on this would be greatly appreciated. Lots and lots of love from Joe in Bristol.
It's amazing.
Well, you go first.
Okay, so I started making cakes for friends and family and more friends and family and more friends and family. And I was working full time. I had loads of jobs. I had jobs here, jobs there. And I decided, right, I have to go into the world of cakes. I have to do it. But I didn't want to work for myself.
Right.
So I literally went online and saw the job at the Daisy Cake Company.
Because it was meant to be.
Yeah. And so I was really lucky I landed that job.
So you went from employed work to employed work making cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how it went. I can't remember. But when you moved to Epsom, well, when you decided to move to Epsom and all that bit in between, and I took on the business, it was very scary.
Mm.
And you were really sweet enough to pass on everything that you had booked.
Yeah, we had quite a few bookings in for the first year, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just plugged it. And it did go quiet for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then it started turning around. But I think that was quite nice because it gave me a chance to find my feet.
Yeah.
As opposed to going from naught to zero. No.
You went that far.
Yeah. I stalled. Not to 100.
Yes. Yes.
In a day sort of thing.
You so did have a little job in the middle of it as well, didn't you?
Yeah. Where did I work? Oh, I worked at SSJ.
You worked in that kitchen, didn't you?
But that was during the COVID.
Oh, yes, of course.
So yeah. So that was in 2020, obviously, yeah. End of 2020. But I started doing the business as self-employed from 2017.
Yeah, yeah. So I probably was a little bit more conventional in that I had a job. I had a very, very well-paid job. Like a proper job, an office job, you know. I was marketing manager. And I started making cakes and I changed my job and I went 3 days a week. So I did Monday to Wednesday and then I made cakes at the weekend. And then we moved. So we moved to Hampshire and I knew that when we moved to Hampshire, I was going to open a shop. That was my goal, was to open a shop. So I kind of went gradually. No, let's just, you know, all go to hell and jump straight in. And when I moved to Hampshire, I had no customer base because I'd been making cakes up in Epsom. But having the shop gave me a high street, you know,
presence.
I had that high street presence. People knew who I was pretty quickly, or knew who Daisy Cake Company was pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I actually don't work full time in my business now. I do have a job again now. I have a job for a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's quite nice having the extra money and not actually having to worry about, because I don't, you know, a lot of things that I decided that I don't want to make wedding cakes anymore. I decided I don't want to make a lot of celebration cakes, you know, so it's my decision to like step back out of making cakes. So it's quite nice to have that money coming in, but also I found it quite lonely. And so occasionally it's, you know, it's quite nice to have that other job. I only work 20 hours a week. And some days I think, oh, I wish I didn't do this job. When I'm ill again from the job that I have, because I'm like constantly bloody ill from it. And that's because the nature of the work I deal with, like there's kids around and there's just people with germs everywhere. So when I've got an illness, I'm like, that's it. I'm giving this up again. I'm not doing this. And then I kind of go back to work and it's quite nice there and I quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I go through phases of wanting the job and not wanting
the job. But again, you're still making cakes, aren't you?
And to be honest, recently, since I've got the cake shed and people are again, it's like having somewhere to, because I stepped right back out of cakes for quite a while when my mother-in-law was ill and when we were moving house and we had so much going on, I'm like, my headspace just couldn't deal with that. So I lost a lot of who I was. People didn't know who I was, and obviously other people took over and stepped into my place. So I'm kind of getting that back again. And now I'm getting to the point that I'm probably a little bit too busy to be doing both, but I am trying to do both.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am making more cakes again now And it could be that once it comes, because my contract at work is only a year. So it could be that once I get back to, once I get to that year, that I go, you know what, I'm done. I do understand it's really, really scary just stepping off the edge and going and making cakes. Because it's like, how am I going to support myself? But on the other hand, like me right now, I've got a job and I've got that second income and I probably don't put the effort into my cake business that I should. Because I don't have to. Whereas I know that if I suddenly come to June and I go, right, that's it, sack that job off, all my efforts will go into my cake business and I will automatically get more business because I'm putting more effort in because I have to put more effort in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like that necessity thing. It's like, yeah, I need to make money. I need to earn this money. I can't be faffing about with this and pootling about. I will do it.
Yeah.
It will come as your customer base builds. It definitely will come.
And I definitely think Google helps.
Yes.
To get as many, I get a lot of business through Google.
Yeah.
And I say leave as many, get as many people to leave reviews as possible.
Yeah.
And I've got my website linked on Google. So they go straight through to my website.
Yeah.
As well, which means my website is getting traffic as well. I found you on Google. This is a really
you get a lot of messages on Google because somehow, and I don't know how
is
this
it
happens.
Still coming through to you?
It's all right. Don't you worry. It's fine. It's fine. I ignore them because I can see it comes up with the address and I'm like, oh, they're not for me. That's fine. No. But you get a lot of messages via Google, a lot of inquiries via Google, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And the most common comment is, I looked at your reviews and I'd like a cake from you. I liked all your reviews.
Yeah.
So they're booking me just because of my reviews.
I mean, it is true.
Well, and I'm lucky enough so far.
Social media is great.
I've had a bad one.
I don't know. I have had bad ones, but from people I've never made cakes for.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you know, having social media out there, that's fantastic, but most people, if they're looking, especially if it's like something very specific, like a vegan, if you're looking for a vegan birthday cake, you're going to Google it. You're not going to go to Facebook and look up vegan cake makers. You're going to go to Google and look up vegan cake makers.
Yeah, because it's so much easier as well.
And you will build that customer base.
Vegan cake makers, Sammy cake makers but that's on my search thing. That is the most common thing. Bakers near me, bakeries near me, cake makers near me.
Yeah, yeah. And you will build up, you get a lot of returning customers. I mean, I get returning customers and that will build up. And then that word of mouth, is huge. Yeah. That will spread. You will get to a point, but at some point you will have to step off the ledge.
Yeah, and always keep business cards. I know business cards are dated, but you can put your QR code on them as well.
Yes.
But always have them with you because so many times I get asked for a business card and that's the time I don't have them with me. it's so annoying, but I just always have them with you. Yeah. Sometimes you'll go into Tesco's and they've got the board up. Actually, not so much Tesco's, but you'll get the shops and they've got the board up and you can put pop your card up on there. And someone can take it, you know. I do things like that as well.
It's just, it will build. You will get to a point where you, I mean, it's really difficult to go, because I went from full-time to part-time. So like full-time employment, part-time employment, full-time cakes.
Yeah.
And my part-time employment was only for a year, but I did have to do that because I did get to a point that I'm like, I can't do that full-time job and the cakes.
Yeah.
Because what happens is all you're doing is you're working in your business, making cakes. You need to take time to then build your business. So you need to take time out of your employment and it's really, really hard. But then just build a buffer of money. And at some point, you know, when you can say, right, I've got 2 or 3 months worth of money.
Where I can see the book and you can see the bookings. You've got the bookings made.
Yeah. And then
just take the leap of faith.
Yeah.
Because there's also universal credit.
Yeah.
Which if you need the buffer, they can help. They may not be able to because you're not earning too much.
Yeah, I mean, I never could because my husband was earning too much, so I've never been able to.
But if you're on your own, if you're in rented accommodation, there are a lot of factors.
And you've been paying your tax for all this time. You know, if you're working, you haven't been paying your tax for all this time. So I mean, we both
see if your local authority have got any grant schemes.
There is grants.
That does happen occasionally, but it depends on the authority.
Yeah, and I think at the moment authorities are up against the wall a little bit. But I think we've both had grants. I had grants when I opened the shop.
I've tried to get. I have had business things.
Yeah,
business training and stuff like that. But I couldn't get a grant because I was taking on your business and it wasn't classed as a new business.
Right. But yeah, I mean, there will get to a point that, so I did it gradually, but you do have to get to a point you go, right, I'm going to jump. I'm going to make that leap of faith. And if you've got a few months that you can have a buffer that you know you've got that time to make that business absolutely work.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, then you have to go back and get a job. But, you know, I consider my job my side hustle. Yeah. I go out to work as my little side hustle to get me out of the house and all that. So it's how you frame it in your head as well. What is your main job? At the moment, you're obviously thinking your cakes is your little side hustle. Don't make your cakes your side hustle.
Flip it.
Yeah, make your cakes your main job and your other job is your side hustle that you're eventually going to give up. Mm. And it's like a mindset thing and it will change.
Yeah.
Right. You've hope that this. Helps, Jo. And I'm sorry if we don't know if you're male or female. I'm so sorry. And if we don't know what business you are.
But we do.
But we do. Just... Yeah, we do. We do. Right. Okay. Oh, I can't believe we started on Jo from Bristol and we made such a hash of that. We're sorry. Right. You reading the next one?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'll just open it up. Blah, 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 blah. So this is from Sarah at Sunflower Patisserie. I struggle with. If you could go back to the beginning of your cake careers, I love this. What thing would you do differently? And what one thing would you do the same? Thank you, Sarah.
Right, go on.
So, okay. Oh, I've lost you. Where are you?
I'm here.
Here. There we go. So, I was thinking, and the first thing I would do the same is meet you.
Would apply for the job in Romsey.
Yeah, because without that, I wouldn't be where I am today. So thank you, Bronya. I love you. You're amazing. And you are like one of my busy mates. Yay! And so I wouldn't change that for the world.
Yeah.
But one thing I would change would be when you're a learner and you're mucking up when you're doing people's orders is to check, keep the paperwork, check the dates, check, and check again. Because that was my greatest downfall. I always say, you know who I'm talking about, don't you, in the shop. Yeah.
There was lots of paperwork, to be fair.
I think there was three.
Yeah.
Changed her order three times.
Yeah.
So that is what came to mind.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than getting a complaint End of.
No.
But then when you realise that complaint is actually your fault.
Yeah.
And I mean, the cake we delivered that day was stunning, was beautiful. Just there wasn't the cake that she ordered.
Yeah.
And that's really.
And alarm bell, you kept going, there's something not quite right. And I was going, no.
Because it was a two-tier cake and it was too much money. And I thought you'd just got the hump with her and charged her lots of money.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. But there's nothing worse than getting a complaint and then finding out that complaint is actually yours.
I held my hands up and said, hey, that's me. But poor Bronya had to take the shit that came with it.
I had to duck every time someone came near the shop that looked vaguely like her. But never mind.
So, yeah, so that was my greatest mistake. Always check.
I suppose the lesson is just make sure you have the right paperwork. Make sure you always have the right paperwork and double check your paperwork
mistakes
with your client.
Mistakes happen.
Yeah, but double check your paperwork with. I mean, we've all done it when you just made a cake and it's just about to go over out the door and you go, oh shit, that was meant to be chocolate. Yeah. We've all done that. We've all done it.
Yeah.
But check with your client, check the dates, check the design, check again. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And if the alarm bells are ringing,
Go with your gut.
The gods are telling you, the universe is saying, hey.
Yeah, trust your gut, definitely. Right. And actually, I would say trust your gut a lot in business, not just things like that. Just if something doesn't feel right about a cake you're just about to make, don't do it.
Or you get a customer that makes you feel something's not right.
That customer, we should never have taken that cake.
No.
Should never have taken cake.
No, not when she changed the cake so many times.
So many times. So what would I do differently? I probably wouldn't be so hell-bent on having a shop. Within months of starting my business, I'm like, my end goal is to have a shop. And because of that, I didn't go through the business process of building up my customer. You know, I built up my customer base and then I moved to a completely different area of the country and opened a shop. So it was like, well, you know, why did I bother doing that? So I completely like missed out this huge chunk of what I should have done, which was build up my customer base, build up my marketing, build up my brand awareness, people knowing who I am. But my main goal about 6 months into business was I need to have a shop. I need to absolutely have a shop. And I didn't realize what that meant. And I didn't realize what the stresses of that meant. And I didn't realize what the blood, sweat and tears that would mean. And I see it now. I see other people doing the same. You know, I've put a deposit down on a shop and I'm like, have you thought this through properly? Cause I didn't think it through properly. But saying that, having the shop has taught me so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
And I would never have met you.
No.
And we would
We wouldn't be doing the podcast. I wouldn't have entered Cake International if I hadn't have met you.
And I also think that all these things, although, yes, you think, what would I change? Everything I've done in my business, I've learned from.
Yeah.
And if you see everything as a learning process, then actually
made the mistakes that I made then, I wouldn't be the me I am now.
Exactly. Yeah. And I can't regret having a shop. I can't regret taking my business in that direction and then moving my business in a different direction, because every time I've changed my businesses and I've pivoted, I've learned something new and I've changed and...
I would say you don't need to buy all the stuff.
Yeah, you really don't. It was funny. Who was I talking to the other day? It was someone at work I was talking to the other day. And I said, I've got rid of, because she does a little bit of baking at home. And she's like, I've got all these pans and I've got all this stuff. And she said, it was Easter eggs. She went, I've got these Easter egg molds. I went, yeah, I had them. They've gone. Because you just see things, you go, I need that. And it's just money. Cash. So cash that you don't need to spend. Right. Okay. I hope that helps, Sarah. I wouldn't have a shop and I would have a shop. That's the thing that I would do the same and differently. something else that I would do different, I'd do the same. Is that something I started when I started my business? Is I started as a cupcake maker. So I was really niched into being a cupcake maker. And then I watered it down by doing lots of other things. And I should never have watered it down. I should have kept a niche.
Yeah.
Because at one point we did just anything and everything.
Yeah.
And I should have kept
to
a niche.
That was part of our learning curve, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we'll do anything. You want a pecan pie? Yeah, we'll make a pecan pie. You want a cake in the shape of a truck? Yeah, we'll do that as well.
Royal iced biscuit.
Yeah, we'll do royal iced biscuits.
Do you know what? I turned some down this week.
Well done.
And I went, no, sorry, that's not my forte.
Yeah.
But I do make cake. And they placed the order for the cake.
Perfect. Perfect. Right. So the next we have Joe from, sorry, my phone has just gone off. Joe from the Chic Cake Boutique. I love that name. Joanne from the Chic Cake Boutique. I would love to know what percentage others add to cake prices if you get a cake inquiry for 2025/2026 plus. At the moment, I'm telling people for 26 plus, my diary isn't open. Thanks, girls.
This is a excellent question.
It is an excellent question.
Isn't it? Yeah. Because I've had so many inquiries for 2026.
Really?
Like, it's just gone from 0 to 100. I was going to say 0 again.
And what are you telling people?
I am saying that I'm not giving out prices for 2026 yet.
Right. Are you giving them ballpark figures of what you would charge? No, you're not giving them anything?
I'm not giving them anything. Okay. Because you just don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But I've written it down actually. Where have I put my notebook? Here we go. For 2025, so for 1 year in advance, I would generally put 10% on top of that.
Okay.
On top of my price.
That's still quite a big chunk, isn't it?
Yeah. If you think of, like, we had the cost of living crisis and everything jumped ridiculously. Well,
and also if you think, if you look at wages nationally, I mean, I've just had a pay rise at work and we had a 10.1% pay rise, which is huge.
Yeah.
But it's the cost of living pay rise we've been given. And that's what we've been given.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
Yeah. And I did read a few bits and bobs about this question to see if I could find anything.
Yeah.
And one late, though I wouldn't give prices for 2 years in advance because they might change their mind as well completely. Yeah. So you do, you know.
Yeah.
Another thing I read said they do 20% for 2026.
Right.
So that would make sense. So like 10% each year.
Because I think also what we kind of do is if you think that, so we're booking, say, for next year, say you're booking for next year, we're kind of giving our pay rise to ourselves like retrospectively, aren't we? So almost this year we're working on last year's pay. Next year we're working on this year's pay. So that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do know, I've listened to podcasts and Instagram reels and things like that of cake makers who are like big cake makers. I'm just trying to think, who have we been to see? The Cake Professionals.
Do you know what? That's the one that's in my head, Cake Professionals. And the way they said it, they did, they said that would be, because she had like three different zones. She's like a basic, a good cake, an amazing cake. She used better words than that, obviously.
Yeah.
So, much better words. So she was going, this would be your ballpark figure. Obviously, we won't quote you until we finalise your design.
I think it was
design.
6 months before the wedding or something like that.
So they would finalise the design, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That 6 months before the wedding. Yeah.
And then give the quote then.
Then,
and I think that's quite a nice.
But they took the deposit.
Yeah, so they had the deposit.
Save the date.
Yeah, so they had that, but then they went, right, so when we get to 6 months before your wedding, we'll give you a full quotation and then, we'll do your full design. Because, again, it might be funny, in 2026, right now you could be having a pink wedding. 2 years' time, you could be having a blue wedding.
Yeah.
You could completely pivot everything you're doing. So you could quote for someone for a cake covered in sugar flowers. And then come, they could have three different other designs by the time they get to you in 2026 and then go, actually,
some
brides
are like that.
Yeah. So how can you can't. I would say, right, if you really want me to make your cake, I will take the, I'll take your deposit and then we can discuss it closer to the date.
But I do give them quotes for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
With like my 10% sort of thing. You just kind of, woo-hoo. Yeah.
If someone really, really wants you to make your their wedding cake, get them in your diary. I wouldn't have your diary open. I'd say give me a £50 save the date deposit. Have that in the diary. Oh God,
£100.
Sorry. Shows how much I make wedding cakes now, doesn't it?
Because if you think about it,
£50 like
a piss in the wind.
Like throwaway amount. It's like
well, £100 is a bit more.
Yeah. But get it in your diary.
If they want a mega cake, I'd even up that to 200.
Yeah.
I know there are cake makers out there who take 50% deposit at time at when they, you know, they say.
But if you haven't quoted, how do you know what your 50% deposit is?
No, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. But I do know there are cake makers that do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you're worried about spending that money, I know. Because when I was making wedding cakes, I would worry about the money coming in and then spending that money and then them cancelling it and asking for half their money back.
No. So that this, I have this stipulated on my contract. It's £100 non-refundable save the date deposit.
Yeah.
Because you're going to spend time emailing backwards and forwards if they're getting free samples. Because sometimes they send in, I want a 3-tier cake with blah, 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 blah. But they don't say it like that, but you know what I mean. I want a 3-tier cake. and so you kind of know where the budget's going, what they want.
Yeah.
I've lost my train of thought. What was the talking
£100
about?
£100 non-refundable deposit.
Yeah.
Is that you're spending £100, but you've done £100 worth of work on them?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the time you get that money, you
as well.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. God, silly brain. So. If you know the cake's going to be a certain amount and they're paying for their £100 deposit, I give them their samples for free if it's over a certain amount. But if the cake's under a certain amount, they have to pay for their samples. Yeah. Otherwise, you're doing the work for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, by the time you've emailed backwards and forwards a few times, by the time they've actually given you the money, you've done work.
Yeah. You've put stuff in the printer. You might have printed something out. You've used your electricity.
Your time as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Your stationery.
Yeah.
Cover everything.
Yes. But but for the moment, if it was 2026 and beyond, I would say put them in the diary and tell them 6 months before the wedding, you'll give a proper quote once the design is settled.
Yeah. Pens and pencils. I'm just going through in my head.
What have I used?
Your little wallet to keep the wedding in details in. The folder to keep your stuff in. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Next.
I'm reading the next question.
Yeah. Oh, please read.
It's you, isn't it?
No, it's you. Charlie and Jen from Geneva.
Ah, Charlie and Jen, Geneva.
Switzerland.
Whoa.
I know, right?
I
love this.
When making a cake, do you ever think, why the fuck did I say I'd do this cake? And then burst into tears.
I haven't done it for a long time.
Never cried. Yeah. I've never cried because I don't cry. I'm a hard bitch.
I have had palpitations I haven't done it for a long time, but I have done it previously.
Do you know why you haven't done it for a long time?
Because I don't make cakes.
No. Because you don't make cakes that
I don't want to make.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah
Whereas before you'd have gone, I can do the world.
Yeah, let's do all of it. Yeah. And to be honest, I know the thing is, it's really easy for us to sit here after with 15 years experience going, only make the cakes that you want to make. But say you're in your first 1 or 2 years, you don't necessarily.
Or it's your first inquiry as a business.
You don't necessarily know what those cakes actually are yet. I have been through that. Yes, madam.
Miss.
She's put her hand up.
I can think of a cake that I said yes to.
Right.
It was a black cake. She wanted it to look like I can't remember if she wanted it to look, what it wanted to look like. Yeah. I can't remember, but it was black buttercream.
Right.
And I couldn't source the product. So I thought, oh, well, I'll wing it. This was before black cakes were really a thing, and I'd never really made one. And I knew if you use black buttercream, it wouldn't work, putting the black stuff. So I bought this stuff, and it didn't work, but I left it right to the minute, last minute, and it just melted. And I had to give her a full refund.
Oh.
She was really sweet about it.
Yeah.
She did leave me a bad review, but a year later, she changed it.
Oh.
Because
she wanted to come back and get cake from you.
I contacted her and said, I did say that, you know, after a while I'd give you a cake for free.
Yeah.
But she said, no, don't worry about it. I know it was just one of those things.
Oh.
She was really sweet.
Yeah.
But it made me think about doing that style of cake. I've done it since.
Yeah.
But I made sure I had the correct product.
See, there have been times that I have taken cakes on and I have made them and I haven't been happy with them. I'll tell you actually one incident when we were at the shop. I don't know if you were there, we were making cake pops and they kept falling off the stick.
Oh, no, yeah, I wasn't there. Well, what about Mickey Mouse?
Don't even go with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember the cake pops and they kept falling off the sticks. And that was a time of, why did I agree to make cake pops?
Yeah.
What made me think that I could make these? And I remember being, because our bakery, the bakery was downstairs and the shop was upstairs. And I remember being downstairs and hearing them hit the floor as they fell off the sticks. Thud.
It was really hot as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just a massive mistake. We should never ever have made them. So yeah, but then
Royal
Ice biscuits, Mickey Mouse biscuits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Royal icing was a massive problem with that.
And I had another thing where I did mini cupcakes with Royal Ice topping or something and they just went wrong as well.
But until you do it, you don't know. So, I mean, 15 years of experience, I now know to say, no, I'm never going to make that cake. I don't want to make that cake.
And find somebody you can recommend.
Yeah. Yeah, find someone else that makes them. Find someone else that makes macarons.
Yeah. Yes, which is what I've done.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's so much easier. We've had her as a guest, actually.
We have.
Sally.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But so you will find that, yes, you will go through this stage, and I've done it, and Sammy's done it. You will go through this. Why have I done this? You will burst into tears, but you will never make that cake again, and you will never take that cake on yet. And you've learned something.
You'll learn how to make it properly before you do it the next time.
Yeah, you've learned something
really
by doing
it. Black cakes, but they make you. You've got to get the right ingredients so they don't make your teeth black.
Yeah.
You have to advise your guest.
You might take
a guess.
Yeah.
Your customer, you do know they may make your teeth black.
And your poo.
Or your poo.
Don't be alarmed the next day after you've eaten it. But so there are things you definitely, yes, absolutely. We've been there. We feel your pain, but you're learning from it. See it as that.
Just step back, breathe, contact the customer.
And say it's just cake. How many times did we used to say that at the shop? It's just
cake. Contact the customer if it's all going tits up and say, can you come in another hour? Yeah. Can I delay the cake? I've had a problem with a product.
Yeah, definitely talk to
your
customer.
Don't be afraid because sometimes things go wrong. If you're at your car's at the garage and they go phone up and go, sorry, you can't pick your car up.
Yeah.
It's not ready yet. You go, oh, that's annoying.
But
and you go, okay, I'll pick it up tomorrow.
But at least they manage the customer's expectations, definitely. Yeah. Right, Shirley from Devon Made Cakes. Sorry.
Keep everyone in the loop and then it's not so bad.
Right, so Shirley from Devon Made Cakes. We have three questions from Shirley. Love Shirley. Right, so this is the one we were talking about for earlier. Are wedding fairs worth doing or do you think they're a thing of the past?
I attended three wedding fairs the last few weeks, as I was talking about earlier. One I got four thingies from. The other one I got, thank you. The other one I got none.
Yeah.
And the other one I got four.
I think it's probably a case of if that's where you think your ideal client are going.
Yeah. But, so I don't like doing wedding fairs.
No.
But.
A bit people-y, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a bit networky as well.
Yes.
And that's, you're getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You're meeting people who can try samples of your cake.
Yeah.
Because everyone always loves my cake. I hope they're not just being polite, but I know my cake is yummy.
Yeah.
So they're coming to me going, oh, have you got samples? Like that, and they're passing on your details to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, the networking aspect of it is not to be ignored, actually.
Yeah,
really isn't.
And I've actually met a lot of suppliers by doing wedding fairs that I would not necessarily have known.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a wedding shoot, hopefully at the end of March, if it doesn't all go tits up. And I've mentioned it to people and they've gone, oh, we'll come along.
Yeah.
We'll do this. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And I've actually made some good friends.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not – sometimes you will do really well and you will get loads of inquiries.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a thing of the past. I think what's happened is they went out of favour because of COVID.
No, I think they were out of favour before that. I really
do. You?
I think the market was saturated.
Yeah.
So every Sunday you'd go out, wedding fair, wedding fair, wedding fair. And I do think they're good – thing, but I wouldn't necessarily pay for an expensive one as a small business, because you're going to have to get one or two bookings definitely
to cover that,
to make sure.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't say don't do them. I just say research it, see where they're doing their social media,
pick and choose.
So if a hotel asks you to do a wedding fair there, where are they advertising it? Who are they getting in? Because the hotel that I work with are really good. She has the people who want to see the venue set up, who are thinking of a wedding, actually come that day.
Yeah. And is that venue one that you want to work with?
Yeah, that's right. Is it within your I've done one for, it's on right on the cusp, and sustainably it's, I think to myself, is it worth doing this?
Yeah.
But I think it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Next question. Or did you want to say anything?
No, because I don't do them at all anymore.
Yay! No.
Right, so also from Shelley, which social media do you find works best/worst for your business? Right, so I have really mixed up my social media recently because of the type of business that my business has become. So recently, because of the cake shared, I've been doing a lot on Facebook, on local groups on Facebook, and that has done really, really well. But that's for the cake shed.
Mm.
The other thing that I've done recently is for me as someone that likes to help other cake makers. So I've been posting about my cake shed on Instagram, and I've had 100 new followers in the last week from that. But that's because it's the time. It's like I'm going to cake makers that are. So Instagram is the other creators. Facebook is my local business. That's how I've found things work. But it's quite, I don't know. It depends where your ideal client is going.
So
I wouldn't advertise cake on. I wouldn't advertise my business side of it on Facebook ever, because it's.
Well, what I find is if I post on my friends and family, my Facebook.
Yeah.
It goes crazy with interest about my cakes and everything. If I post, I like to post. So primarily my main posting is Google and Instagram.
Right. Yeah.
So they're my favourite.
Yeah. Is that just because you like using them the most, or is that because you think that's more where your client base is?
That's definitely where my client base is.
Yeah.
That's where I get most business.
Yeah.
I don't tend to get much really at all from Facebook.
See, and I mean, Facebook, the only reason I'm posting there is because I'm selling small slices of cakes. It's a local thing. Yeah. People are walking past, they can pick things up. I wouldn't dream of, unless it cross-posts automatically from Instagram, I wouldn't dream of thinking, oh, I need to go and put my celebration cake business out on Facebook.
No. I think...
It's a different client.
Facebook has changed so much now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
People always go... Oh, I put an event on Facebook, and everyone in my WhatsApp group goes, oh, we don't go on Facebook anymore.
I don't think people do. And I think other creators go on to Instagram. I think also...
I do get business from
I think
Instagram.
There is an age group, because I think each social media thing now has its own age group. And I think the people that are kind of in that age group to be getting married are on Instagram. I put things on TikTok because I've made a reel. I'm going to bung it on TikTok as well. I've got no business from TikTok whatsoever, ever. No.
But I do know a couple of cake makers who get a lot of business from TikTok.
Oh, really?
TikTok. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I never used X as it is now.
No, never used it.
Never used it. But Threads keeps coming up on my phone. I haven't looked into it yet. I don't know what it is, but it keeps.
It's another one. I'll tell you the other one that I do get quite a bit of traction with occasionally is Pinterest.
Oh, yes.
Because again, you know, you've got clients that are looking for inspiration and your things will pop up on Pinterest. So that's, don't ever discount. But the thing about Pinterest is, it's like, so if you go on Instagram, something is recognizable for like a day. You'll see it for like a day, possibly 2 or 3 days. Mm. Pinterest, you can put something on Pinterest and it will come back 3 or 4 years later. I've got pins on Pinterest that are years old that people are still repinning. So it's not an instant thing on Pinterest, but people will be doing like mood boards and things, and your cake will pop up. And if you're in the right area, they'll go and, you know, they'll contact you. So for me, Instagram, and then Facebook for my local business, but for you, and Google,
because it also links them to my website.
Yeah. Right. So last from Shelley. Do you have any hashtags that work best for you?
Weirdly, hashtag chocolate cake.
Okay.
Hashtag bakers near me.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Hashtag cake makers Epsom or Epsom cake maker. Make sure it's like a local one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if there's a very specific cake you're doing, like chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Or
chainsaw cake.
Yeah. Yeah. A very specific, something very specific. I used to use, when I was making wedding cakes, I used to use a lot of things like alternative wedding cake or art wedding cake or art inspired wedding cake. Yeah. And I would get a lot of traction from that, because you're looking directly at your ideal client and what they're specifically looking for at that point.
And I would recommend you going online and looking up what hashtags are not illegal, but...
No, there's some banned ones, like Valentine's Day.
They're banned. I couldn't remember the name. Yeah, you can print it off. I know... a company called She Sassy Media, which is based in Southampton. She has a list on that I've downloaded.
Instagram claim they don't ban them. It's a lie. They do.
Yeah. So you can print it off. It's just a sheet full of hashtags. Yeah.
And what it is, it's hashtags that bots have got hold of. So that the bots have like spammed the internet with. So it's not that.
And some of them are rude. That people use that hashtag to get people to go put that in.
Yeah.
And it'll come up with something rude.
Yeah. But I mean, something like Valentine's Day, that I think that was a bot one.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're all, you know, like dangerous or anything, but yeah, it's
they shadow ban you.
Yes. Yeah. So they don't, they kind of put you down the pecking order in the algorithm. But I would, it depends on what you're doing, but I would always try and be as specific as possible with the hashtags.
And try not to use hashtags that have got 26 million on them, because you know that you're going to be like,
and also mix them up. Don't use the same hashtags on every single post.
No,
have like clumps of hashtags that you mix up throughout your posts. Right, okay, you're next. You can do the next one.
Oh, sorry, I've got to go back.
Okay. Oh, look, 15 minutes already. Gosh.
Oh, we talk a lot, don't you? So this is from Trish from Sweet Ella Bakes. Were you friends before working together in the shop? And have you ever fallen out? P.S. I may need to take someone on, but unsure whether a friend is wise. P.P.S. Thanks again for brightening up my Monday. You literally. Thank you. Crack me up.
No,
literally,
we weren't.
Literally. Oh,
we weren't friends before working at the shop. However, you know when you meet some people, you're just like, yeah, she's going to be my bezzy one day.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I don't think we've ever fallen out. We've never had an argument.
We've never had a...
But referring to the cake I made that I did wrong was quite tense.
But you know what?
Well, you were lovely. You just went, these things happen.
I think
you're amazing.
I think also, I mean, I know... I also really respect the fact that we're kind of there for one another, because I also remember, I'll go back to chainsaw cake, actually.
Oh, my God.
Right, so Sammy was making a chainsaw cake and it was literally falling apart.
Yeah.
Because she was in the hottest part of the building, didn't really twig.
And I didn't take your advice. I was like, I'm going to do it my way.
So I remember you phoned me. I had gone for a meeting somewhere and you phoned me and you went, this cake's falling apart.
Now, I think my exact words were, are you going to be long?
And I was in the car on my way home.
And then I
walked into the shop and you went, once I'd spoken to you, I was fine.
Yeah.
He said, you went, oh, it's fine. I'm absolutely fine now. Everything's okay because I spoke to you and it's fine. And I think sometimes just having someone there at the end of the phone to go, it'll be all right. Don't you worry. That was useful. Yeah, but we've never really had an argument.
I'm not that type of a person, really.
No, I think we're both quite easygoing.
Yeah. I don't like confrontational arguments. I'm not one of these people that say, well, you said this and I said that and you said that.
If you're taking staff on, because obviously I've taken quite a few staff on, not everyone has worked out as wonderfully as Sammy.
No.
You know, let's just say that.
My sister, poor sister, has got someone working for her who in the interview was amazing. But I can't say anything because, you know, they might be listening by perchance, but she holds up beads. If my sister walks towards her, she holds up beads as in a protection ring and is like, don't come near me, don't come near me.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I would say
make sure you have a contract.
Yeah.
But if
you're employing someone, always have a trial period. And that trial period could be 3 months, could be 6 months, have a trial period. So if it doesn't work out, you can both, because it could be that you're getting on really well with them, but they actually hate you, in which case they can break the trial period and leave without any repercussions, without any redundancy pay, without anything going to court. Have a trial period. One thing I would say is I don't think I would work with a friend that I'd never worked with before. So, for example, I know now, if I was to start a business, if I went, right, I'm going to start a business, there are two or three people that I would happily start a business with, but that's because I've worked with them and I know what their work ethic is. So Sammy, I would work with you because I know what your work ethic is. I worked with a wonderful lady called Becky when I worked at the point shoe manufacturer. I would start a business with her any day because I know how well she works. But that's because I worked with her before I was her friend. Like you, I've worked with you and now you're my friend and I know how well you work.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I've got friends I love to bits, would never work with them. Never, ever, ever work with them because I know we would fall out. I would hate them by the end of the first week.
Yeah.
So I
see, I've got friends like that. It's like, I love my sister. I love her to death. I've got three sisters. I love all of them. But this particular one, I think we would kill each other.
Yeah. And my husband, love my husband to bits. 29 years married next month. Would never work with him in the business because we would end up killing one another. So I personally wouldn't work with, I wouldn't employ a friend unless I already know how well they work.
Yeah. And make sure you have a contract.
Yeah. I would do a trial just period, definitely. I would probably do a three-month trial period.
Yeah, because my sister has a six-month trial period and they're literally 2 months in and...
Yeah.
poor thing.
Mind you, within that 6 months, she can get rid of them now because it's within that 6 months.
But you have to do it properly. Okay. You have to do it with all the...
Yeah, bells and whistles.
Singing and dancing.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah. So...
But sometimes you just know, don't you?
Yeah.
If there's someone that, you know, and as long as you have the boundaries, you don't want a friend coming to work with you who takes over.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the business owner.
Yeah, you have to go, I'm the boss.
Yeah.
You're my employee.
And that's actually quite hard to do, especially with a friend. That is quite difficult to do.
Yeah,
definitely. It's difficult to be a boss, actually. Mm. It is quite difficult to be a boss. It's funny because where I work, because I'm the boss of where I work, and they say I'm quite a nice boss, but they say you just have a look.
Yeah.
They say you get to a point that you're being really nice, and then you'll just go, no, serve that customer now. And I have a look that I suddenly become stern and not forceful, but you know, forthright.
Yeah.
It's like, right, no, the shit ends now, just get on with it, sort of thing.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to say that.
Right, I think the next one looks quite difficult, so you can read it, and I'm not quite sure how to answer it, but go on.
So this is from Terry Morris. What do, should you do when you spot other cake makers doing things a little bit dubious, as in using real gypsophilia or other toxic flours, selling gluten-free alongside normal products, or selling sealed pre-packaged goods, products from Shed? This is you. With no allergen / ingredients, for example. Now this is a really, I googled this
is difficult
if I can find an, for yeah an,
so if you answer. This is like, if you see someone else doing something that you know is wrong, how do you deal with it? And I suppose it depends on firstly the relationship you've got with them, the person, and what they're doing as well.
Because some people, you could in a nice way say,
you can have a conversation. I mean, I know I've had in the past, I've had conversations and gone, and can you imagine, because some people do such and such and such and such, which is what they're doing, and they go, you're not meant to do that then.
Yeah.
But some people could turn around and go, whatever.
Yeah. So I guess you have to judge the situation.
Yeah, like read the room a little bit.
Yeah. But if this is how I feel, because I think this is what a customer would do, if you feel that it's going to endanger somebody's life, then you maybe should broach it.
Yeah.
And then if they're horrible about it, cringingly, because this is like, I think you should mention it to an authority. Yeah.
If it is someone that's got, say, a shed and they're not putting their ingredients list on it, yeah, which could eventually, you know, that is a legal thing.
Yeah.
If you've said, I mean, firstly, I would probably message them and go, oh, I noticed you've got a shed. Did you know you're meant to be having that? If you then get a shitty reply, maybe then go to your EHO.
Maybe mention it. And if you get a shitty reply and you see they're not changing anything, then maybe go to a local authority.
I suppose it's like our duty of care.
Yeah, a little bit. But you have to think, you get a lot of pop-up bakers who are like, I know, I'm going to make cakes. They don't have insurance. They haven't been through the local authority, you know.
And is it because they don't know to do that, or is it because they're actively not doing it because they can't be bothered? If they're actively not doing it,
then they need to be reported. If they don't know.
If they want to make a success of their business, and as an experienced cake maker, you go, oh, did you know you're meant to do that? They might suddenly go, oh, my God, tell me more.
You can go, did you tell the staff that this is a toxic plant?
Yeah.
Do it in a way. Don't maybe go, you're not making that.
I think I would try to be like the chatty big sister at first.
Yeah.
You know, like the...
Can I run and let the dog in?
Hold on. I'll press pause.
You're missing your team meeting.
I would go the route of being like the friendly big sister, giving a bit of advice and see how it goes. And if they don't take your friendly advice and they're a bit shitty about it, I'm sorry. But if they're doing something wrong that could endanger someone's health, I probably would mention it to someone.
Yeah. I would hate to. How would you feel if you didn't say something? And then something awful happened.
I guess it's the way
in you deliver. Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, in 15 years, I've never had to be in that position. But I do worry if Terry is in that position. It looks like Terry might be in that position. I've been really lucky that I haven't been in that position, and I haven't ever had to, you know, sort of like say, you do know you should be doing that. But if they're really not listening to you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right, that's all our questions.
Yeah.
We do have a couple of comments that I would like to read out, because they've been sat in my inbox to read, so I will read them out. So Danielle Lyons from Daniel's Cakes in Pershore, she wrote to us and said, I love your podcast. I actually started listening to it towards the end of COVID while I was slaving away doing a horse job that I wasn't appropriate at and kept getting ill as I was out in the cold, wet all the time, exhausted and tired. I'm sorry, Danielle. You inspired me to go for it properly as a business. And now a year and a half later, I have 22 wedding bookings. Entered Cake International, having never been, got bronze, but with 3 marks off silver.
Wow.
I was a regional finalist at the TWIA Awards. Honestly, I'm so happy, and it's thanks to you guys. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
That's amazing.
That's brilliant.
Well done. Well done on all of it. Where do we even start? 22 wedding bookings, bronze at Cake International and the TWIA Awards. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Well done, Danielle. And thank you for messaging. Thank you for messaging us.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we have Becky from Mrs. Smith's Cake Boutique. I love that name as well. Mrs. Smith's Cake Boutique. Oh my God. This is about last week. Oh my God. I love today's podcast. I am all for being myself and not following trends and doing things my way. I recently found my cake business, me, with my style, my look and my message, and have started putting it out there. There'll be no more football themed cakes or fondant figures here. I will unapologetically always be me. Love having you guys to listen to on a Monday. Becky. Yes.
Thank you,
and
Becky.
She sent pictures as well, and her cakes are beautiful. They're like French tartlety type.
Yes.
So well done, Becky. Excellent. Thank you everyone for your messages. Yeah. Thank you everyone for your questions. We love you all.
Sorry we couldn't put all of them in. There were just so many.
I mean, look, we're already over an hour. We haven't even done.
Yeah. All right. So I better get on quick.
Better be quick. Yes.
Yeah.
Right, go.
So straight into product of the week, product of the week. It's time for product of the week.
What was that?
That was my ruler. I just snapped it.
That was a great noise, and now you've broken it.
My ruler. It was my mum's.
Oh, you have to stick it back together.
Yeah.
That was a great noise, though.
Yeah. Am I going first?
Yeah, you go first, because I need to find my email from my one. So you go first.
Okay, so I don't know if I've done this before, but I'm sorry if I have. We've been going a long time. So I use this regularly. I love it. It's PME Edible Glaze Spray. I use it.
I've still got it on
things.
My table here.
Have you? Oh, yes. Yeah, you have to make sure that you move everything. Otherwise, you never get rid of
so
it again.
In my cake room, I have tables from our bakery in Romsey, and I still have some of this on the table. Never to go.
I had it on my last phone, but it's brilliant.
Anyway, sorry.
But you can also use it on Isomalt.
Yes.
It stops
brilliant.
It from being sticky. But it's PME claim it dries clear, but as with all edible glazes, there is a slight golden tint.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's something out there that you can do it without that, but you can use it for varnish for use on sugar flowers, models. I sometimes use it for eyes, for buttons.
I tell you what I've also used it on before, chocolate.
Have you?
Mm.
And it makes
it shiny. Chocolate's gone a bit dull.
Uh-huh.
Just one like spray of it. Not like lots, but just a spray. Just to give it a nice shine.
A bit of
Yeah.
It's considered a vegetarian because it contains shellac.
Yeah, it's a shellac varnish, isn't it?
Yeah, it says the Vegetarian Society consider shellac suitable for vegetarians but not for vegans. It sounds a bit gruesome, but the female lac beetle produces a resin to cocoon her eggs. When these eggs hatch, the young bugs eat the mother.
Oh, that's grim.
Which dies naturally. She dies naturally after laying the eggs. And it is the shell of the mother that is used to produce shellac. So nobody's been harmed.
Because they've already died. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. It contains alcohol. But I use it a lot. And if you get a blockage in your nozzle, turn upside down, give it a quick squirt, making sure you don't squirt all over your stuff.
Do you ever stick a pin in your nozzle?
Sometimes, but if you run it under hot water as well, that helps.
Yeah.
I did
a Cake International piece once that had, it was like, it was like a beach scene. It was like driftwood, and I had a couple of isomalt pools of water, and I used it on that because it stops it going sticky and then cloudy and nasty, which is really nice. Yeah,
You can get it from Cake Stuff. 100 milliliter spray confectioner's glaze vat spray can is £5.50. Now I've actually got glaze in little pots that I use, and I have the spray separate as well. But I prefer this one. I like the spray.
Yeah.
It's just easy. And I ruin paintbrushes if I use the other one. And it's £5.50 for 100 milliliter can.
Good.
Bish, bash, bosh. That's mine.
But can I just say, when you spray it, don't get your phone anywhere near it.
No.
And completely cover everything around because... It sticks like nothing on earth.
Yeah.
I, for years, was cracking bits off the back of my phone.
Yeah.
Right, I'm desperately trying to find my email from the thing that I ordered so I can find the price, but I can't find the price. It's fine. I'm going to go for cake rods.
Oh.
So they're like, you know when, all I can describe them as, you know when you're doing, you see people doing buttercream flowers and it's like a cake pin. So it's got a flat bit and then a pin.
Yeah.
Right. These, you turn it upside down. You can either buy specific cake rods or you can use like metal cake pins and you put them in a big cake.
Yes.
And it cooks
I've got
it.
These.
Have you?
Yes.
So if you're making a big cake, so for example, like a big tray bake or a 12 inch cake or a, and I'd say 11
or a round cake.
Yeah.
You know the round tins.
Yeah.
I always put one in them.
Put one in the middle. Because what it does is it cooks your cake from the inside out whilst you're kicking it from the outside in. Because that heats up and then cooks your cake from the outside. It's like when you cook a jacket potato and you stick a teaspoon in it.
Yeah.
You stick a teaspoon or a metal skewer in a jacket potato and it cooks it from the inside out and halves your cooking time. So I've only just started using them. They're incredible. I don't know why we've never used them before or why I've never used them before.
Yeah. I don't use them all the time, but I like with a fruit cake as well.
Yes. Yeah. Because it just, it means that you know that your inside is cooked rather than.
Yeah.
I have just recently, here it is, cake stuff order. Found it. So cake stuff, four cake tin, they're heating cores, they're called. So four heating cores, I ordered two packets of them and they were £8.56 for the two packets. So that's £4 something, 20 something each. And you get four. So if you're making a round cake, you put four in. Then when you turn the cake out, you just take them out the bottom.
Yeah, that's right. Because they're there. Because I always worry, oh, I'm not going to see them. Yeah, you do. Pull them out.
Yeah, but so they will cut. They will cut down your cooking time, but also make sure your cake is cooked evenly within.
Yeah.
So that's mine.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I've also got a question to ask our listeners.
Okay.
So I need a new oven. Right. I've got an oven in my cake room and I've decided I don't like it because it's got a top and bottom heat and it just, I either burn it on the top or I burn it on the bottom. It's got a convection in it. It's got a fan in it, but it's not cooking evenly. And this is partly why I've gone to cake rods. I want a tabletop oven. If anyone can recommend one, probably about £400 or £500. Tabletop oven, if anyone can recommend a decent size. I don't want one of those little piddly mini things, but I don't want a huge 120 litre thing like we had at the shop. If anyone has a nice cake oven that they use, I would like to hear from you, please. Thank you very much.
Okay. Sorry about all the bashing.
Is Andy building a nest?
Is it nearly 6 o'clock?
It is 5:30.
Oh, yeah.
Is it dinner time?
Yes. But you're lucky we're nearly finished, Andy.
We are.
Okay? Yes.
We are. So thank you for all your questions. Thank you for all your comments.
Yes, I loved them. They were really good questions
as well,
weren't they?
We had some good questions this time. Yeah. We always have good questions. Our listeners are great.
Our listeners
are great. I can tell it's got darker because you're now in the dark.
Yes. Yes.
You started in the daylight and now you're in the dark.
Yeah, and I shall speak to you soon.
Yeah, soon.
Bye, lovely listeners. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that stuff. Bye.